Welcome to the Chronically Healthy Life Show. When you hear the word, you know, actually, before we talk about hearing the word chronically, you know, I am back in Houston. I was supposed to be out on a David Wolf conference, but I made it back for the show. But anyways, going back into the show, when you hear the word chronically, what do you automatically associate that with? You associate it with chronic diseases, right? Well, you know, we all do. It's all programmed and driven into us. But, you know, what we're going to do today is, you know, and then for the show is we're going to flip the whole idea on its head. You know, let's discover how we can create chronic health in our bodies, our minds, our finances, and of course, our relationships and our lives. Let's jump right in. I'm Andy, and joining me is my life partner, Minna Wong.
Hello. So we talked about Lent before, and it started, I think it was 40 days before Easter. And coincidentally, there's another religion that has also just started the biggest celebration of the year. I'm talking about Ramadan. If you're not familiar with it, Ramadan is a holy month of fasting and introspection for the Muslims. Now, every day within the 30-day period, from dawn till dusk, they do not eat or drink. They are also supposed to, get this one, avoid impure thoughts and bad behavior. I don't know how to do that.
That's a hard one.
Let's figure that out. But this year, Ramadan just started on March 22nd and it lasted 30 days, ending on April 20th. And at the end of Ramadan, that's when they do the three-day festival to celebrate.
And I'm sure that's when they have
big
different
things.
Thoughts too, right? You know,
that's what you can think about.
Fasting, it is one of the five fundamental principles of Islam, right? And it's interesting that fasting seems to be a principle for a whole lot of multiple religions. You know, we are all for fasting. Like me and Minna, we love fasting. We practice intermittent fasting every day. And, you know, we do extended intermittent fasting twice a year, you know, just to have better autophagy, you know, and to grow back some stem cells, just better repair, right? And fasting is actually very beneficial to your health. And guess what? Fasting actually saves you money, because when you're not eating or drinking, you're saving money, right? You really don't need to eat, then you don't need to spend money on the food. It's a win-win all the way.
I agree. So, what are we talking about today? Well, let's do this. My dad, I have a broken childhood. My dad used to call me stupid blinking girl when I was young, and that broke me. And my parents really made it clear that they think I'm not as smart as my two older sisters. And it wasn't until I was in college that I took an IQ test and find out that I'm not really all that stupid or dumb, even though I'm born on April 4th, so they figure I'm foolish. Just to be clear, IQ test is not a measure of how smart you are. It is more of a test of how you do logical thinking, basically how well you're going to do in school, like how easy for you to pass school. But it's not really a determining factor of how successful you're going to be in life. Now, having said that, you wouldn't want your child to have lower IQ, right? But what if there's something in your home environment that is lowering the IQ of your child? Now, recently on childrenshealthdefense.org, which is a great organization if you want to know about things that they could harm your children. So they published an article saying that studies showed fluoride actually lowers the IQ in children. What do you think?
I think that is a great, great piece of information to share, because, you know, fluoride, it's this chemical byproduct that factories used to dump into the ocean. And then somehow they managed to repurpose it to be used as a household disinfectant. You know, there's fluoride in your water, there's fluoride in your toothpaste, and, you know, probably fluoride in a lot of your personal care products also. And I'm sure you hear that you need fluoride to keep you from having cavities, right? You see all these commercials that you need fluoride recommended by this dentist because it prevents cavities. But if you look at your toothpaste, there's a little warning sign on the outside of the box. It says, warning, do not swallow your toothpaste If you do, you need to call poison control. So think about that. Fluoride can actually kill you. So, you know, I could probably do with a little bit of cavities rather than getting poisoned with fluoride, right? What do you think?
How do you put something in a mouth and not swallow it?
Exactly. That just doesn't,
it doesn't make, really make sense to me.
Any sense to us at all. So like for us, we always use toothpaste that doesn't have fluoride because guess what? We got fluoride in the water anyway. So whatever they claim that is, well, you know, when I'm drinking water, you know, I guess I am preventing cavities.
And actually more concerning is that these studies were originally blocked by CDC. Until recently, there's a court ruling that basically they have to release it, these reports. And that's how we get to know about it. So what is concerning to me is that you don't always get to know all this information, especially not from the news. For us, we follow various organizations because we can we don't rely on the news, right? We know where we get the information from, and we don't want you to be misinformed either. So just remember that news outlets, they choose to release pieces of information that would grab your attention. That was the main purpose, right? It's not to inform you. The main purpose is to grab your attention. But never the host, they don't ever give you the whole story. They don't ever give you all the information. They never give you both sides of the story, right? So if you want to protect yourself and your family, you have got to do your own research. I'm talking about the Children's Health Defense .org and these other, like we talked about EWG.org before, great organizations.
That is so true. You know, when it comes down to information, sometimes maybe you're getting information from your neighbor, you're getting it from your coach, you're getting it from your friends or even your church, perhaps. And if they're telling you that your water is safe and clean, perhaps they just say, you know, for instance, oh, my water is safe and clean. Well, how can they say that? Is because you read it somewhere? How do they know? How can they be so sure? You know, what type of research have they done? You know, is it just because they think it's clean or because someone told them it's clean? You know, it's really unfortunate. We live in this information age, but it's getting harder and harder to get the real information because like what Minna says is like bad information, bad news is what people want to hear. Unfortunately, that's what drives news. You know, you never hear about the good news. It's sort of like you hear gossip. No one ever tells about the good stuff you do. But if you do one bad thing, the whole world's going to know about it, right? And that's just how the world works. And, you know, it's a shame that, you know, it's really hard to figure out what is real and what isn't anymore.
Yeah, so that's why we're here to give you information. So stay with us. I just want to stress that we are not affiliated with these organizations. We just want you to really give you the information that we find will help you and your family be chronically healthy. And we will continue to share this information and the source of information with you that we find to be truthful and helpful.
That is so awesome. Well, after this short break, we're going to be giving you a quick biohacking tip, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about turning your passion into income. Stay tuned.
We all hope to age gracefully so we can enjoy our later years full of energy, vitality, and good health. But so often, with age, our bodies start to show signs that things just aren't as they used to be. Our energy, skin, healing and recovery time, sleep, it all just seems to go downhill. Unless you're using LifeWave. LifeWave X39, the world's first product ever to activate stem cells. A true breakthrough in regenerative science that helps restore our bodies to a healthier, more youthful state in a way no other product can. The secret? By harnessing the power of LifeWave's patented phototherapy, X39 uses light to elevate a peptide proven to signal the activation of stem cells. Think about it. These are the cells that generate and regenerate all the cells and structures of the human body. They're the building blocks for our organs, tissues, blood, and immune system. They also serve as an internal repair system everywhere. But as we age, stem cells become less effective. Their ability to repair damaged tissue is reduced. In fact, by age 60, they've slowed dramatically. But all that changes when just one LifeWave X39 patch is placed anywhere on the body each day. Instead of older and less effective stem cells, X39 supports the production of younger and healthier stem cells. This amazing level of control over your vitality and well-being was simply not possible, let alone this easy, until now. Look what people are saying about LifeWave X39. Backed by clinical studies, multiple patents, and 20 years of development, any one of these benefits would be impressive. But X39 is so effective, it can influence everything about your body. How you look, feel, perform, and heal. It's time you experience the power of X39.
Hi, this is Minna from Chronically Healthy Life. So Easter is just around the corner, and Easter used to be one of my favorite holidays. That's because where I grew up in Hong Kong, Easter was actually a four-day weekend. So I loved it, and we had Easter bunny, which is made of chocolate, and Easter eggs. And so what I figured I would do for this episode is to show you some ways to dye the Easter eggs naturally without using artificial food coloring. So I kind of look it up, I do some searches online, and I give it a try a few things. So here's what I did. I have turmeric, which actually turns out yellow. This is turmeric, and this is kind of cool, it's yellow. And then I have red cabbage, which curiously turns the eggs blue. Now, this is red onion skin, and I had it for a while, and if you look at it, let me show you. If it ever comes out. This is the color of red onion skin on eggs. It's sort of purplish, but it's like a brownish purple. And then when it dried up, it actually looked like this. So I would give it a try with something else. Maybe try like a red beet skin or a blueberries, something that would give it a different color. So give that a try if you want to. The one that I thought was really cool. And just ahead of Halloween is a black egg. And I used charcoal powder for this one. So this one's super easy and this is super cool. I love how it turns out. Now, this is brown eggs. By the way, what I used was white eggs. And for this purpose only, we are using white eggs and they are not organic because I'm not able to find organic white eggs. Normally, we do something else, but because I'm going to dye them, I use white eggs, which normally we don't do. So by the way, so this is a coffee colored egg, which is brown. So then the one that didn't turn out, I was hoping it's going to be working, is spinach. I was hoping this dirt is going to turn green, but it's not doing anything at all. And I've tried this with frozen spinach and fresh spinach. Either way, it's not working, so I'm up for suggestions, whatever you think is going to work for to get a green color. So to get my green, we can always just use organic eggs. See, this is a nice color, nice green, and you don't even need to do anything about it. And if you don't want to dye your eggs brown, so this is a coffee colored white egg. This is a natural brown egg, organic. It's pretty close. So I'm gonna say, you know, take your pick, and I hope you have some fun with coloring Easter eggs. I'll see you next time.
Welcome back to Chronically Healthy Life. By the way, this is my first time making Easter eggs, so I make this many little faces. That's because it's the first time I've done it. And the internet lies. The spinaching never turned out. So I have to look for some of the recipes. But today, let's talk about something fun. Let's talk about chasing your passion. Why don't you tell us what your passion is?
So a lot of people, if they know me in the last 10 years, they know I'm into health and fitness. I'm into holistic ways of looking younger, feeling younger. But if you knew me before 10 years, you know that I'm a car guy. You know, I love cars. I love driving fast. I love driving on track, quarter mile at a time, whatever you call it. If it's a fast car, I'm in it, right? That's probably one of the reasons why we end up buying a Tesla, because we don't want to modify a car to go faster. But, you know, my first passion, we're talking about chasing our passion. And one of the things is we think it's important to find something that you love and change that into your career, right? And my passion was fast cars. So at an early age, as soon as I was 16, I was racing my dad's Ford Granada. I remember I was racing this Mazda RX-7 down the highway in Vancouver. And all of a sudden, I dropped the gear into second gear, big bang, and I blew out the muffler. And the next day, my dad's asking, what's wrong with the car? I don't know. It's just starting making these funny noises when we're driving out. You know, remember, I was only 16. I was racing with all my buddies. And, you know, from there, it just changed a passion. Once I got into college, went 2 years, didn't feel like college was for me, dropped out, and I started my own car modification business. And that turned into like a business for 10 years, right?
You had it for many years, right? Eventually, you turned that into an online business.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, turning passion into income is definitely doable. And this is a prime example. But for me, I'm not like him. He's a monkey. I'm not. I love music, especially the piano. So when I went into college, I had full intentions of taking music as a major. But of course, my mom stopped me. And so me being the good girl, trying to be, I put music in the back burner. So, and I'm really sorry to say, I let that passion slide until my mom passed away a few years ago. And I do often think back and wonder what my life would be like if I had taken a completely different path. And really, it is really just after my mom left us that I started writing music again. And I'm sharing the story with you because I don't want you to make the same mistake I do. And I don't want you to, your kids, to make the same mistake that I do.
And, you know, Minna, since you're out there, I'm just going to throw my wife under the bus. You know, she's creating her own music. I would love everyone to check it out. Where can they, get, you know, download your music?
I'm working on it. I'm putting it on Epi Music. And it's in the process, but I will have it up by end of next month, I think. It's a process, apparently.
There you go. There you go. But, you know, back to talking about passions, you know, 10 years ago, my passion changed. And that's because my health took a really bad turn for the worst. I was barely able to get out of bed. I was barely able to do anything at all. It's totally unfunctional. And I just sort of was looking into the future. And I didn't see that as a life for me, Minna. But like, you know, at that point, over the last 20 years of my health deteriorating over a bad car accident, you know, some of you guys probably know about it, but, you know, not enough time to share about this on the show today. But anyways, you know, I was on, you know, chronic prescription pain medication just to get out of bed, and talking with a lot of specialists. They, you know, at the age of 43, they basically told me, Andy, this is your life. You need to accept it. And it could only get worse. And at that point, you know, that was my, you know, that was my changing point or my point of no return. And I decided, well, okay, I love fast cars, but I love my wife more. And to be honest, I love my health more. And that's where I started my journey into becoming who I am today. So, you know, I am a functional nutrition and longevity coach now. And I can say now at, you know, we're turning 53 in like less than 2 weeks and 10 days. And I can say we're healthier now than I ever was. I'm stronger, faster. You know, I can bench more now at 53 than when I can do when I was my 20, which is saying a lot. Anyways, you know, just want to throw it out there. Always change your passion into something that you love. I love anything to do with, you know, with health and fitness, anything to make us look younger, feel younger, live longer. I always tell people we're going to live to 150. They give me this funny look. It's like, why would you be walking around in your wheelchair? It's like, maybe you'll be in a wheelchair, but I know we're not. You know, I'm still going to be running my quarter mile.
Okay. Have Michael Perez joining us shortly, and you will be really inspired by his story. And he is a true success story where he turned his passion into income. And you will hear from him what kind of sacrifices he made along the way to make this happen. So stay tuned.
Hi there. I'm Andy.
And I'm Minna.
And we're the Foolish Couple. We created the TV program Chronically Healthy Life to give you tips and hints on how to get healthy and, of course, to live a vibrant life. But in reality, it takes more than an hour a week to really change your life around.
We've been around doing this for many, many years now, doing health coaching and productivity training, and we really nailed it down to what it takes to be successful. Now, if you're sick and you're tired of your current health situation and your current lifestyle, it takes about 30 to 90 days to really restart and renew your whole life. It takes 30 days to get your body back to a clean slate, like wiping the blackboard clean. We help you on a guided cleansing protocol. And then once you're clean, we give you a nourishing protocol for your body to heal itself. Now, our 90-day program, it takes it to the next level. We will help you reset your gut bacteria, improve your blood labs, strengthen your body and mind, regenerate your stem cells to promote healing, restoration, and rejuvenation, to turn back the hands of time, helping you implement lasting, healthier lifestyle changes.
And that's why we created the Chronically Healthy Life program, to help you recreate your life. It takes daily practice and accountability to get you to reach your personal goals and to redesign your life. If you're looking to learn to live healthy, to get mental clarity, to improve your health, to boost your immune system, to strengthen your body, to increase your productivity, and to look and feel younger, 10 to 20 years younger than your age, and to feel energetic and vibrant again, then we invite you to join our Chronically Healthy Life program. You get to choose whether you want to do the 30 or the 90-day program. Both are designed to keep you on track to your goals, get you mentally and physically healthy, and to help you achieve a long, healthy, wealthy, and happy life. So check us out at www.fokeracademy.com and sign up for our Chronically Healthy Life programs. Both programs have a 14-day risk-free guarantee, so if you don't like it, you get your money back. We are confident that you will love our program, so join us now at www.focalacademy.com.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Sorry about that, technical difficulties, folks.
Not a problem.
Welcome back to the Chronically Healthy Life Show.
Thank you.
Our guest today is the fantastic Michael Perez with Showroom Ready Homes. Michael, hello. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure knowing Andy and finally getting to meet you and getting on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, we're glad to have you. You know, I was excited to meet you today because I wanted to talk about your interesting life and how you got to where you are right now.
Yeah.
So you were born in Corpus Christi, and
correct.
What was your childhood like?
Well, I wouldn't really call my life interesting. It's just been kind of just been happening. I do appreciate the warm up into coming in here. I did actually get born and raised in Corpus Christi. My father was a railway worker, so we kind of moved back and forth to Laredo a lot. So I was able to kind of move around and meet a lot of new people, you know, as I was growing up. So it kind of gave me a little bit of resilience when, you know, meeting new people. And I ended up graduating from Corpus Christi, Texas, from Mary Carroll High School. And then continued off into college, which I'm sure you're going to want to know a little bit more about that too.
Yes. So when you went to college, your intention was to pursue a career in medicine. Yes.
Sort of. Yes. So initially when I went to college, I went in as a business major, and I went in as an international marketing major. I ended up getting that degree from the University of Texas, San Antonio. And right after that major, I decided it's probably not for me. At the time I was, looking more into the medical career, into medicine, into the allied health sciences and stuff like that. And I made probably a difficult decision that most people don't want to make at that point in their career. After taking 4 years in an undergraduate degree, I decided to go into the biology specialties so that I can get, credentialed for medical school. So I ended up graduating with another degree in biology/human medicine. And after that, I did a couple of years as a tech around the hospital in order to get some good playing time under my belt so that I knew what I was getting into before actually jumping into the tank in medicine. But, you know, thank goodness I was able to apply for medical school. I got accepted to the American University of Antigua. It's actually in Antigua in the Caribbean. I stayed. Yeah, I know everybody makes that face. They think I was on the beach the whole time. I was not. I promise you. But we ended up, you know, having a good time. All of my classmates were really, really close still, because it was hard. It was difficult being on an island. It's actually a third world country, if you think about it, you know. So there were often times when I was in medical school studying for my finals and me and my roommate had no electricity because they had running power outages, or we didn't have running water because there was no water to be run. So we had to take bucket baths. But we ended up making it through and came back to the States, did our clinicals, ended up graduating with an MD degree, and did a double major with them as a physician's assistant. My wife as well is a physician's assistant, so I got a double degree in that. And then started working in the academic field as a teacher. And I was teaching all over the countries, as well as other countries as well, South Africa, Saudi Arabia. It was all virtual, of course. I couldn't make it, you know, to every single country, but it was all virtual. And yeah, I kind of took my medical degree in the academic realm. After that, I started to get bored a little bit. And then this is kind of what Andy was talking about earlier, is understanding what makes you happy in life versus the monetary fulfillment and, you know, lifestyle fulfillment.
I'm a former teacher. I understand the boredom of academia. There were days that I was like, if I have to say this one more time.
Yeah, it's difficult at times, but I do have to say the gratification, you know, with having somebody actually see that light bulb click. Yeah. Now I was teaching on a little bit of an upper level, you know, on the medical level. I was teaching pathophysiology, physiology, pharmacology, and stuff like that in order to help people get into the medical school or MBBA programs or whatever PA schools that they wanted to get into. So it was a little bit more on that level. So when you're teaching those college graduate levels and upper academia graduate levels, they're either going to get it or they're not. And they're going to either hate you for it because they didn't get it or thank you for it. So I got to experience a lot of that going into right out of medical school.
So. Oh, definitely. Definitely. So, okay. So I think I'm getting the picture here. So there's boredom. Yes. You have this career that a lot of people would look at from the outside and think, wow, right. But there's boredom happening within you. And how did you make that change, and what was going on with you that made that
change? It was actually one of my best friends, my wife. I came up to her one day and I said, honey, I'm getting a little bored and it's probably not what I'm thinking, you know, it's all about. I don't have any interaction with the outside world. I feel like a cockroach sitting in my desk the whole day and teaching people who barely know English. And she said, well, why don't you go ahead and help your neighbors out? You know how to fix things. And I thought, naively, I would create a little handyman business and go out there and just help the people along my street. I was so naive. It became something a lot bigger, and I started moving around, had to get a whole bunch of tools. It became this huge endeavor that ended up kind of exploding. And a good friend of mine, Eli Konechka, he's actually part of the company, he recruited me over to this company because he himself has been in the construction business for a long time. And funnily enough, he was also in my undergraduate degree pursuing medicine as well. So that's kind of funny. So we ended up, he ended up getting a hold of me and we started this connection with Showroom Ready Homes. Initially it was just kind of a, hey, let's see if we like it kind of thing. And, it's been about a year since I came on to the team and, currently, I'm overseeing the Houston division and Baton Rouge as well when Eli's out. So we're doing pretty damn good right now. And it's fun because whenever we want to kind of talk a little bit outside of the realm of construction, I have somebody I can talk to with, you know, medical stuff if I want to.
Well, let's. So do you feel like you found your passion that
So one of the things that I had said when I was doing my clinical rotations, one of my favorite, my two favorite subjects were psychiatry and surgery, which are on two separate ends of the spectrum for medicine. I love surgery because they always have the coolest tools. You know, you go in there and orthopedic surgeons have the best drills and hammers and everything, mallets. You know, brain surgeons have the coolest little microscopic tools. So I was always very intrigued on putting stuff back together. However, I knew that I probably did not want to be a surgeon because the lifestyle was, it didn't appeal to me. So I kind of pushed towards the psychiatry portion and the academia portion. But there was a little bit of a void there. And I enjoyed going out there and helping people within their own households. I always tell people it's a different story when people come and visit me in the clinic versus when they allow me into their home to help rebuild them after a loss, or any of our guys after a loss. They want me there at their house. They don't want to be there at the clinic. You know, they're sick, they're tired. So it's a nice, it's a nice little change to be able to be in somebody's home where you know you're going to affect change at a good level for your client. And I think that that's what is driving me every day to do what I have to do and what I want to do. Initially, it was all about getting on the tools, having fun, drilling out. And as I've become more on the corporate level and the administrative level, I see that everybody that works underneath me, as well as all of my clients and my subs, they have a vested interest for us to do well as a company and to uphold these strict moral views and be there for them. Because oftentimes you get stuck in a situation where you don't know where to go and you need a professional. And I'd like to be that professional, because you can be a professional at any level. Hell, you can be a professional at a doctorate level or at a janitorial level. And that's what people have to understand. It's not necessarily a title position. It's how you present yourself as a professional in something that you're passionate with.
Yes, and you're absolutely right, because our homes, I mean, that they're right at the core of who we are. Exactly. You know, even if we're renting an apartment, it's still the inside, it's our home. And, you know, it's extremely, you know, that I like what you said. It's, and the other side of it too, is for someone like me is, who do you call when you don't know who to trust, because there's so many shysters out there.
Right.
And it's so good to know you have someone in your corner that you can call that's not going to rip you off, or, you know.
And oftentimes it's difficult. I always bring back to this old, you know, modicum of the hardest thing to do as a contractor, construction, you know, in the trades at all, you know, handyman or whatever, is to go into someone's home who doesn't know you, doesn't know your work, doesn't know what you're capable of, doesn't know if they're going to, you know, be comfortable with you even stepping inside the home. And I say, if you can take out two or three of those parameters from, I guess, the frustration of dealing with contractors and bring a more humane kind of approach to it, then the client themselves knows that you have their best interest in mind, as well as you know that the client also is reciprocating that back to you. So, you know, obviously anybody can go in there. I tell this all the time at, you know, all of my meetings in B&I, we can teach anybody to swing a hammer. The difference is customer service and how you respect each other on an individual basis as a professional in the field and as a client that actually needs your service. Because whether you're doing a remodel or you're doing a reconstruction, you know, project, it's always going to be a headache. You know, it's always going to be a headache. You have worries on your mind because you don't know what the next step is. If you're doing an insurance claim, you don't know what the next step is. If you're going to be able to do what you actually want to do to get back in the home. And so those problem solving initiatives that I take on a daily basis, as well as most of the other company branch heads and my team, we really do enjoy it, because it, doctors are like detectives. We have to figure out what's wrong with you. And construction administrators and workers are also like detectives. We got to make sure we can find out where the problem is coming from, fix the problem, not just put a Band-Aid on it, but fix the problem correctly and get you back living the way you want to. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to digress too much on this, but a lot of these changes that happen within my life, is I believe that that we have certain types of fragility that we're able to overcome. And most people want to become resilient. And what I typically tell most of my friends and my colleagues and my clients, I say, you don't want to try to be resilient. You actually want to try to be the opposite of fragile, which is anti-fragile, where you actually thrive in volatile situations. Because in most cases of anything that comes up, you know, in an emergency situation, you have to embrace the volatility. Mm-hmm. If you can't embrace it, you don't have good outcomes. So I typically tell people, it's okay if things go wrong. It's okay.
I understand that very well. I was a teacher for a long time. It was every day for me, volatile situations. Yeah. But you know, also I was thinking, you also, it's not just following our passion isn't just about work, although it's amazing when our work feeds our passion also, but our actual lives, you have some great, hobbies is almost the wrong word. I think those are the things that feed us.
Yes.
The things we love to do that we choose to do in our spare time. Tell us about some of the things that you do to feed your soul.
So balance is great in any type of lifestyle. When you're dedicating your life to only work, you typically hit a brick wall at some point. And when you're dedicating your life to only school or anything, when you have a one big focus of the pie, it actually never does the best for you. Like Minna, I was an avid music fan. My mother and father didn't know I signed up in the fourth grade, or it might have been third grade, I can't even remember, as a violinist. I just went to the meeting, they gave me a violin, and I started learning how to play. And it wasn't until months later where I said, "Hey, Mom, I have a concert." And she said, What are you talking about? And so I slowly progressed learning the violin. Throughout my middle school and high school career, I learned the viola, the cello, and the bass as well, because of circumstances that my school didn't have enough people to actually play those instruments. So I took up that role as the superhero to go learn those instruments to play them. Ooh. And then as I moved into college, I thought that guitar was a lot cooler than carrying around a violin. So I started learning the guitar, and I really didn't get really, really, really good at the guitar until I had my first breakup. And then you got to really get good at the guitar because you got to play those old songs and
the "Woe Is Me" songs.
but I actually continue that in my everyday life. In fact, one of my favorite things to do is to play with my father-in-law, who is a fantastic blues player, as well as my brother-in-laws. They both pick up the guitar, so every family occasion we like to play along. I love to sing. Very musically inclined family. And it's funny because I didn't know this at the time when we were dating, but my wife actually also is a professional violinist all the way from 3 years old till after college. And nobody ever finds another violinist, okay? So it's kind of a remarkable thing that her and I got together, and I found out she owned a violin, and I kind of got dorky and I showed her my violin.
Geeked out over violins.
Hers is very much nicer than mine, but you can go to the moon and back with those. But we love doing that, and it actually brings vibrancy to your life as well when you have an ebb and flow of certain activities that you do, whether it's gardening, whether it's playing the violin, whether it's doing whatever, even meditation. You need that work-life balance because humans are interesting. We want to have some type of identity. And most of the time, the identity that we put on may be something that we're comfortable in. But I encourage everybody around me, actually, apart from this, to step out of that comfort zone and become that man in the arena. There's a fantastic quote by Teddy Roosevelt. It's called "Man in the Arena," and it depicts the way that society looks at somebody who's actually fumbling in life. And he states on there, you know, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the guy who's telling you, "Hey, you could have done this better. You could have done this right." It's the guy who's actually doing the work inside of that arena, who's sweating, who's bleeding, who's making errors, who's pushing forward despite all these other things. Mm-hmm. And that's the guy who counts. It's not everybody around you. That's the guy who deserves the most respect because he's actually challenging the norm of everybody just getting that 9 to 5 and just getting off on Friday, you're done. You always want to try to proceed in, on a certain level. And the great thing is it goes into your work life and your surrounding life as well. So I think that that's actually a good quote to stop.
Stretch those boundaries. That's amazing. Yeah. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you. You
can email Michael at michael.perez@showroomreadyhomes.com. His number's up on the screen, people. And don't go away, because coming up, we're going to showcase a really fun local Houston business. So stay tuned. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much.
Hello. We are Mutts and Meows Rescue, a 501c3 nonprofit. Foster base, no kill group. Mutts and Meows Rescue pulls dogs and cats from surrounding shelters in the greater Houston area. We even pick up dogs and cats abandoned on the streets. Mutts and Meows Rescue is foster based and rely on your donations to keep rescuing. To know more about us, is to know more about our furry friends and help them find their forever homes. Come visit us at Mutts and Meows Rescue on Facebook today and decide how you can make a difference.
Welcome back to the Chronically Healthy Life Show. I can tell that our guest is already excited. Each week, we like to highlight a local business that we know and trust to help build out the community. And this week, we got Brian Warren with Delta Electrical Solutions. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing tonight, Andy?
We're doing awesome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Delta Electrical Solutions? Oh. We can't hear you. Uh-oh. Your mic isn't working there, Brian.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
All right. Something happened, right? The video cut out and all that. Well, I kept going, so I don't know if anybody heard anything, but I'll just stutter.
Can you tell us a little bit about your business?
So we've been open for about 3 years now. We're still growing. We're a small family-owned company. You know, I'm very passionate about electrical, so it's always nice. My boss as well, he's very passionate about electrical. He's been doing it for about 30 years now. Me and myself, I've been doing it for about 6. After junior year of high school, I started doing electrical. So I still got my GED, my high school diploma, but that's basically how it went. Just after junior year, just started doing electrical. It's been great. And I met him at my first company. And it's very cool how it progressed from the first company. He got his master's license, opened up his company, and then a couple years later, he said, "Hey, Brian, you want to come join?" I said, "Sure," and I hopped on the board and the bus, and so here we are now.
That is awesome. That's awesome. It's always good having someone support your vision when you're joining them for the business. I love that. So, you know, with electricity, you hear all these funny or horror stories all the time. Why don't you share us a little bit about the dangers of electricity that you have seen that have gone horribly wrong with someone trying to do something themselves by watching a YouTube video?
So, I don't want to say my favorite, because that may come across a little bad. But what commonly happens is generally, obviously, for us, it's obvious, but some people forget to turn off the power. Generally, whenever I come into a home and someone says, "I want to DIY this," I said, "Okay, if your discretion be advised, just to let you know, if you own the home, and I always ask, do you own the home? When they say yes, I say, you also own that electrical box outside. So when you have a house or even an apartment, you can go to that box and turn it off. You're not going to affect your neighbors. Just the one thing you want to make sure, no one's cooking, because whoever's cooking is going to be really mad. No one's on their computer. You know, all your devices are charged for your kids, and you're not doing any laundry, no dishes, no none of that. You want to wait, make sure everything's good for maybe, you're going to expect it to last 30 minutes. It's going to be 2 hours, but don't worry. You're going to get it there. Make sure you got internet. You've got your video ready. But that's generally what I generally see is people will shut off the power, and it's at the wrong time. But as well as if you're ever working on anything that's live, like, for example, we have a tester. It'll turn red for us whenever there's power. So generally what people will do is go, okay, well, there's no power. Well, hold on a second. There's no power because it's going a different way. This is where I like electricity. Electricity is invisible. That's what's so fascinating about it. And so, sure, you may get a tester. Some people call it it's just a tester. So some people will use it, and basically they'll use it, and, oh, okay, there's no power to it. There's no power. Okay, it's good to touch. Bam! Ow! What happened? Well, there's many things that can stop that from happening, depending on, are you touching the ground? Barefoot. I always recommend wearing shoes. If you're not wearing shoes, put some on. Insulated shoes. Just about any shoe you put on is insulated. Don't listen to people advertising it. As long as you don't have a screw going through your shoe to touching your foot. And I say this for anybody that's a contractor, anybody who works in that field, they may feel confident in that, but they have something in their shoe. Watch out for that. But generally, that's what I'll generally see. Just a little electrocution, yeah.
So, you know, with homes, like, when something goes wrong, what's worse that can happen? Like, are you just going to trip a breaker, or have you seen worse?
I have seen some. I have come to a house before where the outlet, when I come to open it up, it actually caught fire in my hand, and the breaker did not trip. So that is a concern. But with these new breakers that they've come out with AFCI, GFCI, CAFCI, CAGFCI. It's very complicated. All you need to know is they're going to protect the home. These are a new standard of safety that is now being implemented into new homes that are being built. It's also, any new home is supposed to be having these. If it's not, just check with your city code. If it's not that, you can just call us. We can put it in there for you. But when an AFCI breaker does is it senses wire power on the neutral wire, and when doing so, it's basically, so it's sensing the neutral wire, any power going across it. So say something happens and there's a mini arc. Now it's not you plugging something in, but say there's a mini arc, it knows the difference. So the mini arc happens, instant trip within a tenth of a second. Same thing with a GFCI breaker or a GFCI in the wall. Those can be located in your bathroom, kitchen, or garage generally, sometimes on the outside of your house. But they trip within a tenth of a second. Minimal. Sometimes it's even faster than that. But that's the way we protect a house fire. Those arcs right there. That's the general highest cause for a home fire. Now, I'm sorry. I went off track. What was your question again? I know you said something about the home.
No, that is awesome. You provide okay. So much information, you know, because like a lot of people, you know, they think electricity is just so simple, flicking off the switch and they can put on their own light switch
or yes.
You know, their own outlet or whatever. I think it is so important to hire someone that we know and trust. And that's what this community is really all about. At the end of our show, we always highlight people that I've met, we know and trust, and we use too. Brian actually have done some work at our house. And, you know, once again, price was what he quoted. Very trustful, very knowledge worthy. So thank you so much for that, Brian. So Brian, what's the best way we can reach out to you and support you?
You can call us at 832-229-2742. I had to read it, right? Oh, wow. And you can always request for me. You can request, say, hey, I want Brian to come to my house. And if someone else comes up, you can request for Brian again. Say, no, I want you to go away. So, you know, so you can always request for me. But I promise you right now, all of our employees are at the same level as me. And I keep myself really high. I think myself as an OCD person. So anybody that comes out to your home is going to be top-notch professional.
Thank you so much, Brian.
No problem.
When we come back, we're going to show you one simple step to help you build up your chronic and healthy life.
Awesome. Can't wait.
See you.
Hi, everyone. This is Christy Boyd Johnson, the co-founder and CEO of the Barefoot Learning Club. We know that school can be a little scary these days. Between all the pretty horrifying stuff that's going on with bullying and shootings and whatever else is going on, our kids are having to endure this. And it results in a very rough situation. So we know a lot of parents want to homeschool, and that's why we're here. We're here to give you full support in homeschooling your children, making sure they get the foundational skills of reading, writing, and math in place so that they can literally do whatever they want. They can learn anything and do it with less stress, less time, and a lot more fun. And the best part is the results. You'll be amazed at the results that we get. So we would like to invite you to have it. If you want to talk to me personally, if you go to our website, barefootlearningclub.com, there's a talk to Christy button. Just click it and it goes right to my calendar. Schedule a talk with me. It's a half an hour conversation and I can answer your questions and you can talk to me in person and I can talk to you in person and we can see if this is a good fit for you. I'm hoping it is. It's a new and different paradigm from anything you've seen before, but I think it's much better. All right, ciao for now.
Welcome back to Chronically Healthy Life. So today maybe it's not that simple because we talked about chasing your passion and it's not a simple thing. You may have already forgotten what your passion was because life gets in the way. Maybe now you're very comfortable with your life, or perhaps you're busy doing busy work and you don't even have time to think about your passions. Or maybe you know what you want to do in life, but you feel like it's a risk and you don't want to take that risk. Whatever your case may be, we just hope that by listening to Michael's story and ours, it will inspire you to reconsider pursuing your passions.
You know, I think we really believe that what we put into this world is to do some good and to really make a difference in this world. So don't waste your life. The biggest regret of old people isn't about what stupid things they done or didn't do or what stupid mistakes they made, but it's always about what they should have done but didn't. And they bring that regret to their deathbed. So really think about your passions and how you can turn that into a profitable business, because the world needs you. So next week we have Andrea Luzon. She's going to be sharing how you can become the leader of your life. You don't want to miss it. Come back here next Friday at 7 p.m. CST. We also love to hear from you. So please give us your comments on our Facebook page or right on our Chronically Healthy Life page. You know, rewatch this episode on our website, you know, on our YouTube, you know, or watch it, you know, from our Facebook Live. And of course, you can always email us at anything@chronicallyhealthylife.com.
We'll see you next week.